You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Hi, this is Dr. Daniels, and welcome back to Healing with Dr. Daniels. And oh my God, we have got tons of questions, I think. Oh, there we are. Okay. Got myself organized here. All right. All right, Dr. Daniels, I would like to, it's not clear what this person wants, but maybe this person would like to increase their creativity and imagination. So let's just cut to the chase. Let's increase your creativity and imagination. We can leave your pineal gland out of it for the moment. So what I do to increase my creativity and imagination is I take NAC, N-acetylcysteine, NAC. It is awesome. Cosmic it is. If you're living with somebody, or living, like a spouse, you may notice personality changes. So, I would start low with like a quarter teaspoon dissolved in water. The top dose is 1 teaspoon a day. And when you're taking 1 teaspoon a day, your brain just becomes this big creativity machine. We see new and different possibilities in your life. You look at different life situations in a new way, where there is hopelessness. All of a sudden, there's choices. And everything becomes incredibly hilarious and lots of fun. So I would say if you want to increase your creativity and imagination, skip the borax, skip the MSM, go straight to the N-acetylcysteine. That's what I would say. Let's see. Would taking borax for bone growth help in decalcifying the pineal gland? No. If you want to decalcify something, the last thing you want is bone growth. You want the opposite. You've got a piece of stone here and trying to dissolve it. So no, I would not recommend borax to decalcify an organ. That's not going to work for you. Okay. All right, let's see. Okay. Good morning, Dr. Daniels. I just want to say thank you for all of your efforts in helping people heal themselves naturally. I am grateful and very appreciative. I have odontoma on my gum above my only crooked tooth. And my doctor says it's been there since 2014 and nothing to worry about. He just wants to watch it for another year. Of course, you should ask him what he wants to do at the end of the year when he gets to watch him. Okay, so an odontoma is a dental hamartoma, meaning that it's composed of normal dental tissue that's grown in an irregular way. I think the simplest way to proceed with this is just with cleansing. So I would say increase your water intake, take vitality capsules, switch your diet to a diet that is free of chemicals, like, organic. But then I would apply clove oil directly to it. And that would shrink it. That would be the best thing. to locally apply clove oil. Now, if the clove oil is irritating, then dilute the clove oil, say, with olive oil or grapeseed oil. You should apply the clove oil, I would say, once a day if you're able to, just overnight. So the way you apply it, if you soak a little cloth, little white clean cloth with it, fold it up and tuck it in next to the actual tumor, and just do it at bedtime. Okay. All right. Let us get to more questions. So the person says, does that NAC come in pills, powder, or capsules? What should I take? I just take powder. It's much cheaper in powder. And, you know, you can control how much you take. You could stir it in like a pint of water. I like to stir it into something. So I'll stir it into stewed prunes if I make prunes. Or I'll stir it into puree papaya if I puree papaya drink. So it adds a sour dimension to whatever you're drinking. All right. Okay, so we have Olga. Hi, Olga. Thank you for waiting.
Hello.
Yes. What's your question?
Well, I had a stroke last year, April 7th, been a year, and the stroke gave me vertigo, and it's been lingering now for a year, and I get blurry vision in my left eye, and my ear be ringing, and sometimes my throat hurts, and I be off balance.
What have you tried for it?
Well, I try to do exercises, because at first they had me on medicine, but it wouldn't help because the neurology doctor said it would interfere with your healing, and plus it made me eat a lot. And I stopped taking the pills because I was gaining too much weight. I'm already overweight right now. And that's the issue that I'm having right now.
The only thing you tried is exercises.
Huh?
The only thing you tried is exercises and the drugs the doctor recommended?
Yeah, that was last year. The reason why I had to stop doing the exercises because it still keeps me dizzy.
Okay.
And I'd be really feeling bad.
All right, so if you had the vertigo... If you had no more vertigo, you'd be a lot, you'd feel a lot happier.
Yes.
Okay, got it. All right. So first, so what kind of water are you drinking?
The spring water or the water we buy from the store.
Mm-hmm. All right. So change that. Switch your spring water to distilled water.
Okay.
And then, have you switched your food to organic yet?
Slowly but surely, you know.
Okay. All right, so let me explain that to you. So you had a stroke. That means is your brain was damaged and it's trying to heal. It's working very hard to heal, actually. However, it can only use the food you put in. So when you put in food that's not organic, it's your body is taking the pesticides and literally putting it there in your brain, trying to use it to make repairs.
Mm-hmm.
And that makes your vertigo perpetual. It makes your vertigo hang around forever. So those are the two things that you definitely need to do. The other thing is, how many bowel movements a day are you having?
Huh?
How many times a day do you have a bowel movement?
Oh, my bowel movement is fine. I go to the bathroom more frequent than like three times a week. probably even more.
You go to the bathroom 3 times a week?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So some days you don't go at all?
Probably, I can't say, probably about every other day, I'll say.
Would you be willing to increase your number of bowel movements if that would get rid of your vertigo?
Repeat that again?
Would you be willing to increase your bowel movements if that would get rid of your vertigo?
Of course.
Okay. So you want to increase your bowel movements to 3 a day. That might sound like a lot to you. So you want 3 bowel movements a day. The easiest way to do that is to go to vitalitycapsules.com and get vitality capsules. So when I was practicing medicine as a doctor, I had people who just could not get better unless they had regular bowel movements, and that's your situation. In fact, I think the bowel movements, well, the water in the bowel movements are critical. The organic food, you can switch to that, like you say, slowly but surely, you know, do what you can. But the waste that should be coming out your bowels is literally getting trapped in your brain and making you miserable.
Wow. All of that from a stroke.
No. The stroke was brought on by your bowel movements. If you were pooping 3 times a day, you never would have had the stroke. So we can back up to that.
Well, I have high blood pressure.
Exactly.
I have high blood. Yeah.
The constipation causes that too. So the problem is the constipation, not the hypertension, and not the stroke. And so you still haven't fixed the problem, which is the constipation.
Mm.
Yeah, so in medicine, they try and split things and tell you you have 10 different diseases when it's all just one thing. In your case, everything you're complaining of can be traced right back to your 3 bowel movements a week.
Yeah, because I tried the patch, and it did not work. They didn't even refer me to a vertigo doctor, which I need to see because my ear be ringing.
Forget it. Don't waste your time. Don't waste your time.
Why you say that?
They're not going to do anything for you, except maybe they can get you suffer enough. Maybe you let them do brain surgery or something. But there's no drug that gets rid of vertigo. You can Google it. Drugs that get rid of vertigo. There isn't any.
Okay.
I would go for increase your bowel movements to see what happens.
So try what again?
Vitality capsules.
Vitality capsules.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. Okay, all right. Okay, good luck, Olga. All right, we have Derek in Florida. Hi, Derek.
Hello, I'm here.
All right, great. What's your question?
My sister recently got diagnosed with pericarditis.
Uh-huh.
But they're thinking it came from she had an infection in her tooth.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not exactly sure what they're giving her, but she's a recovering addict, and so she's almost a year clean, and so she doesn't want anything narcotic. But she's going through pain because she doesn't want to. She doesn't want to go down that road.
Is the pain in her chest or in her tooth? Where's the pain? Her chest or her tooth?
It's upper left quadrant into her left arm. She feels like it's a snake wrapped around her arm. It's in her chest. It hurts when she breathes. I'm just wondering an alternative, something she could take that's non-narcotic.
Well, she could just treat her pericarditis, treat the pericarditis, then the pain would go away. What's she getting for the pericarditis? Sounds like it's not working.
I just sent her a text to ask her. I'm not exactly sure.
All right, so let's just say she's getting treated for the pericarditis. We don't need to know the treatment. But we can pretty much deduce it's not working because she's having pain. So the best thing for her to do would be to consider, if she would, consider turpentine. And so she can go to vitalitycapsules.com, download the free, no cost, free report, the Candida Cleaner. She can read it twice. And then she can see if that's something she might want to take a look at. But these doctors have never cured pericarditis, and she's not going to be the first cure, that's for sure.
So it's not going to go away? I mean, the infection, no. The infection is not going to go away?
No. Ask the doctor. Say, doctor, when will her infection be gone? And he'll say, well, I don't know. And you say, doctor, when was the last pericarditis case you cured? And he'll say, well, we don't cure pericarditis. So check it out. Ask him.
So you just have to manage it from here on out?
No, you cure it with the turpentine.
Oh, the turpentine? Okay. Yeah, I've heard you talk about the turpentine. And I'm an LMT, and I have quite a few people come in with migraines.
Uh-huh.
And, like, I heard you talking about the yogurt. I was like, stop eating yogurt.
Yeah.
That's what Dr. Daniel says.
Well, how are they doing when they stop the yogurt?
Well, they haven't, it's an ongoing thing. I'm not sure yet, but,
poor compliance. All right. Well, let us know. Get back to us in a couple of weeks. See how they do.
And then with the vertigo, I was actually working on a client not too long ago, and she got really bad vertigo to where it was really bad. And, her husband had to come pick her up, take her home. She couldn't drive, like, I've never had that experience before, but there is a technique I use to, when I tilt their head back to work a certain muscle, and I think that might have triggered it. But
it can be different, but, brain things, I think. If a person's brain is working, you want to kind of leave it alone. Because it's kind of a sensitive area. What I like to do with brains is definitely, cautious and use things that are easily reversible. Like I mentioned, the N-acetylcysteine for people who want to be more brilliant and have more creativity. Well, if you stop taking the N-acetylcysteine, it's out of your system in a few days and you're back to your regular mental state, whatever it was. Yeah. All right. Well, Derek, thanks for calling. We'll keep in touch.
Thank you, Dr. Daniels.
You're welcome. We have Vivian from New York. Hi, Vivian.
Hi. Hi there. I have several questions, as usual. First of all, you mentioned something about to increase the imagination to skip the MSM, and I couldn't get the word that you said to use.
NAC.
What is it? N-A-C-K?
No, N-A-C.
N-A-C, NAC, okay. 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 That's that. Okay. Now, and I'm confused. I'm on the turpentine protocol, but I am confused about probiotics and I mean yes. The supplements and food. And I mean, I've done sauerkraut, and I'm not quite sure what to do. And I've had like six enemas.
Why do you need probiotics? Why do you think you need probiotics?
Well. Because I've been told when you are cleansing, like I've done enemas and I've done colonics and things, that you're supposed to put back the good flora, like with acidophilus.
So you have to stop doing anything that you're supposed to do. If you don't have a reason for doing something, if you don't have an expected outcome, then you should not do it. Because if you don't have an expected outcome, then you can't tell if it works or not. If you can't tell if something works or not, then just don't do it.
And someone was giving me, when they did the colonic, they gave me a little drink of chlorophyll with water. Is that?
That's harmless. I'm fine. But I'm saying to embark on daily probiotics makes no sense if you have no endpoint.
Okay. And also, now you talked about yogurt. And I've been taking some, like, sheep and goat yogurt. Is that bad, too?
Well, again, you need an endpoint. What's your endpoint? What is it you're trying to address or improve with this?
Well, I think the probiotics are trying to, and then that's kind of the only dessert other, there are a couple of questions combined, but it was like trying to just have something for dessert with
state do you live in? Live in New York, California, Florida?
Well, New York, and then you had mentioned about only local fruits. The only local fruit here would be apples that
correct.
I can think of.
Sliced apples.
Hmm. Okay, and in conjunction with that, talking about the apples, now, I have parasites. I don't have worms, but I have parasites, and I mentioned before about them, in the sweaty areas, the crease of the thigh, the under the breast, another arm, where I break out with, you know, and I'm sure it's candida because, and I don't have vaginal candida, but I have it in the colon, I'm sure, because my stomach gets bloated as soon as I eat something. And now in sugar, they're supposed to feed on sugar. So now if I'm taking the fruit, isn't that feeding the parasites?
Yogurt has quite a bit of sugar in it. Did you know that? Yogurt has sugar.
Yogurt, oh, well, dairy, I think, yeah, turns to sugar in the system.
No,
yeah.
No, dairy is sugar. There's sugar in the cow's milk. Lactose
right,
is sugar.
Yeah. Okay, the same thing in the goat's and the sheep's milk, I guess, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah, okay. So then the fruit, so then I shouldn't have fruit if I have candida.
That's not what I said. I said if you want fruit, if you want dessert, sliced apple would be appropriate because you live in New York. That's what I said.
That's okay, okay. Okay, and there was something else with, okay, so no acidophilus, putting together. You know, I was thinking, what about, because I told you before that when I hear you talk about Panama, that it sounds like it would be a nice place that I'd like to move. Have you ever thought about having some kind of a clinic where people would stay, come in for a couple of weeks and stay in a, you know, an inexpensive, nice hotel for a couple of weeks and do the protocol, turpentine protocol, every other day or something? Just have like a small group of people and then you could have little classes?
No, I haven't really thought about that because to properly prepare to take turpentine can take like a month. And so it would be difficult to select people who would be at a point in their progress where they would be able to take turpentine, say, within the next week. So it's a little complicated, but we do have to, I am thinking about something along those lines in terms of just a retreat or education. So turpentine is more of a long-term situation and people just need to have a better comprehension of it. All right, so Vivian, we got a whole lot of people calling in today. I don't know why, but I'm glad I was able to answer your questions and we'll talk to you next week maybe.
Thank you.
Okay, all right, bye-bye. Right, we got James from Canada. Hi, James.
How are you?
Pretty good.
I got a question regarding a friend of mine who's going to be going in for dialysis. He's going in for the catheter on the 12th, and I've been, you know, I've been telling him to set up a discovery session. I thought he might postpone the catheter until, you know, he talked with you and got on a program, but it looks like he's going to go ahead, marching ahead. I remember an episode you had talking about dialysis and what, you know, you were asking a doctor, what's your plan to get people off? And the doctor said, hey, that's my retirement plan. So,
yes.
I mean, I've listened to yours, but I really, you know, in terms of like, this fellow, gentleman, he's around 55. He's got like 9% kidney function, but he looks really good. And he's been doing some other alternative health things, you know, I'm just wondering, is there a time and place for dialysis, or is that just another step down the road to, you know, oblivion?
For the most part, it's another step down the road to oblivion. Most people on dialysis don't need to be there.
Okay.
This is my opinion.
Yeah, well, I mean, the 9%, I have no idea what that means. All I know is, you know, your statement about... You know, if you feel good, you are good type of thing.
Mm-hmm. Does he feel good?
I think so. I mean, relatively, but yeah, I think the numbers, you know, yeah, I think so. I mean, I really wanted to at least get a quick...
Now, how old did you say he was?
55. He's losing his sight because of diabetes. And this is the thing that's most pressing right now, this dialysis, because of this kidney function number.
So 9% is pretty low. However, if he's feeling pretty good, it might not be time for him to do dialysis.
Yeah, I mean, his skin, doesn't the skin turn a color, yellow or something, when things are starting to go really not so well? Or
correct.
Is there any...
Skin turns yellow, it gets scaly, crusty with a material on the outside, basically dried urine is what it is. And the person smells like urine. So it was a lot of warnings. So I would say if he's 65 and he's in balance, we'll call it balance, I'm not sure that he needs dialysis.
Okay.
Now, 9 is pretty low. If he can push it up to, like, even 15, he doesn't need no one.
Yeah, the numbers have been sliding. The other thing is, you know, he's thinking, well, I can go in for the catheter thing, whatever that is. I don't like the sound of that at all, I mean, as a dude. But, I mean, even that can cause a complication, I presume.
Yeah.
Even if he doesn't...
Yeah, he can get blood clots and all kinds of problems.
Yeah. Okay. All right, well, I'm just going to encourage him to call and set up an appointment to chat with you as quickly as he can.
Yeah, see how it goes. Yeah.
Okay, that's all I had. Thanks.
Okay, you're welcome. Bye. All right, we have Tony in Florida. Hi, Tony. Tony, you still there?
Hey, good afternoon. Hi, Dr. Daniels.
Hi.
Hi. First, thank you very much. Listened to the talk today, and it was right on time. Before I got married, my wife, her doctor, was her opioid drug dealer, and she's been on tramadol for over 5 years now. Okay, so we're weaning off of the tramadol with the hopes of getting off of it completely.
Mm-hmm. Good.
And at one point, she was taking up to 14 pills per day, and with this weaning schedule, we're down to somewhere between 5 and 7 daily, which is a big step for her. She's been off of Adderall now for 4 months. So my question is this. Because she's suffering badly with symptoms of parasites and candida, and we have downloaded your Candida Protocol 2.0 and have been following that now for 4 weeks, we're getting ready to introduce the turpentine. Doctor, how do I administer and time her tramadol use with what we hope to be a nighttime dose of turpentine?
Irrelevant. There's no interaction, no problem.
Zero
interaction. So she can just continue, she can just continue with her tramadol and just taper it off as her pain continues to diminish.
Fantastic. Dietarily, we have had some avocado and some olive oil in the two to even three salads that we're having because we're still trying to get her up to 3 bowel movements daily. Yes,
what?
We're in Florida.
She's not at 3 bowel movements daily yet?
Not yet.
Oh, then don't start to turn it.
Don't start.
Don't do it.
And then...
No. No. You have to... She's on the tramadol, which is blocking her intestines. And so if you put... You have the tramadol is blocking her intestines. Then you have the turpentine that's going to send more trash to her intestines. You're working on a 10-car pileup. That's not good.
Okay. All right. Should we increase either use of enemas or castor oil? What would you recommend to overcome the slowdown caused by the tramadol?
I would recommend the Vitality Capsules because not only does it overcome the slowdown, but people get tremendous pain relief as well. So you get kind of a double bonus there. And you may find you don't even need turpentine.
The Vitality Capsules are on their way. Thank you. Is there anything else in addition to those that I should be using?
Just everything you heard in the broadcast today. The big thing is the water.
Yes. I'm making sure that she's getting in 2 quarts or more of water with avocado and olive oil being fat. Do they slow down digestion enough that I should pull those out of her diet as well?
I would stop them. I don't see the benefit.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. owner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT-TODAY.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read a few from Amazon.com. Dr. Sam Serino reviewed the Extendivite product. Good ingredients, feeling much better since taking product. It seems that the tablets work well. Once again, thank you for your product. My acid reflux is really improved thanks to the Extendivite. Together with my thumb joints, the pain is gone and I'm able to grip things much better. My friend has peripheral arterial disorder and their lower legs were hurting at a red color, but thankfully there has been a significant improvement. Kind regards, Janice. My husband feels a big difference using Extendivite. Thank you. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24-7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
Do you or a loved one suffer migraine headaches? Listen to what scientist Kurt Hendricks has to say.
If you are one of the millions of people who get migraines, you need to know about MigRelief. Hi, I'm Kurt Hendricks, the scientist who created MigRelief, the patented dietary supplement that addresses nutritional deficiencies in adults and children with migraines. Thousands of physicians and pharmacists recommend MigRelief.
Call 800-MIG-7354 or visit MIG911.com.
Hi, this is Dr. Daniels, and welcome to Healing with Dr. Daniels. All right, it is, just a reminder, Sunday, April 8th, 2018. And I made my case for not prosecuting drug companies, so there we have. All right, we're answering questions. Tony, how you doing there?
Very well, thank you. Excited to be able to speak with you.
All right, so did we handle pretty much everything? You're all set there?
With further reading, she was concerned about the interaction with the tramadol, but you've cleared that up. There is zero interaction.
No interaction.
No reaction.
Issues her intestines, you absolutely must, especially if you're trying to, you know, get rid of narcotics, you absolutely must go to 3 Valium a day. You have no choice because that is the mechanism that makes the narcotics so ineffective and, I guess the word might be, addictive. So you have pain caused by chemicals and parasites. Add the narcotics. Now you're constipated. And it holds in those very things that cause the pain. So now when the pill's pain-relieving or pain-numbing effects wear off, your pain is even worse. And we call that addiction when actually it's not addiction. The problem is that the narcotics are creating their own need. They're creating a pain of their own, separate from the pain you took them for in the first place.
Okay. All right. And then a food-related question. I had asked about fat in the salad that we're having, avocado, olive oil. Is that slowing motility down even further?
It's not slowing motility down. It's just slowing her progress because those fats create pain. Your body, the digestion process of digesting them. So I would definitely minimize any vegetable fats.
Minimize vegetable fat.
Okay. Is she overweight, and hopefully?
No, she's not.
Is she underweight?
Not underweight. She fluctuates between 5 and 10 pounds.
So she's not overweight or underweight. Stop all the vegetable fats. She'll do fine.
Okay. All right. And then final concern, as we've been going through this process, she's concerned that my liver is not up to par. She's been using calcium deglucorate on me to help bind toxins.
What about
system.
Your liver?
Yes, ma'am.
Tell her to mind her own business for now. Focus on one thing, get that done, and then she can work on her.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you very much.
Okay, you're welcome. All right, I'm going to see Gail in Michigan. Gail, how you doing?
I'm fine. How are you, Dr. Daniels? Especially
recovering from this piece of ice cream I shouldn't have taken, but I'm doing okay. I'm going to live. I think I'll make it.
What is it that you shouldn't have taken?
Ice cream, Brand X ice cream filled with chemicals.
Oh, I understand. I understand how you could weaken. But speaking of your health, I'm so glad that you're okay after falling down the mountain. You were so nonchalant about the way you described it. My eyes popped wide. I'm like, did she say fell off a mountain?
Yeah.
But I want to know what you did for your pain, because you said, of course, you had some pain and you managed it, thank God.
Oh, yeah.
But I wanted to know what you did for your pain, and then I had some other questions.
Well, okay, so at the point where I fell off the mountain, I was already, you know, well hydrated. I was eating organic. I was doing daily coffee enemas. So I was already on a basically optimal pain relief program, and I was taking turpentine. So I fell off the mountain, and so as I fell, this is my head. It went like this, and my head hit a rock, and I heard this pop and a crack. And I said, I thought I was dead. I was like, okay, this is it. This is the end. This is how it ends. And so I hit the ground, and I said, oh, and I kind of had some thoughts about, I wonder if I'm going to make it or about death. And I said, wait a minute, I'm still thinking, so I must be alive. I must still be here. I guess I better do something. And so, you know, I wiggled my toes, and they still worked. The whole breath had been knocked out of me. So all I did was I asked my guides to lift me up so I could sit up. And then that's when I noticed the blood pouring down on my left side. And all I did was ask them to give me some toilet paper rolled up, and I just kind of felt around to see where the blood appeared to be pouring from. It applied direct pressure. And it took only 20 minutes, and the pain was gone. So because I had blood circulating that was pretty clean, it was able to fix and take the pain away. So the headache was gone.
Yep.
I didn't realize that the whole left side of my body had slammed into the mountain. So it was about 2 days later before I realized that my elbow, my shoulder, my hip on the left side were damaged and that they were in pain.
Mm-hmm.
But basically, I just followed what I told you today. And since it was a fall from the mountain, it was a pretty, you know, high fall. It took about a month for me to get back to being pain-free and able to run up and down my own mountain here and climb the mountain. And now, you know, it's like nothing ever happened.
Okay, and you still ran. Okay, you got back on the mountain. Well, that was
I live on a mountain now. I have to, it's just transportation. I have to climb down the mountain to get to town. Yeah, so to get to town, I have to climb down the mountain, and to get back, I have to climb up the mountain. The only reason not to is if it's raining and too slippery, then I can't get a good grip, and it's dangerous to climb up the steep mountain.
How did you lose your grip?
No, when it rains, there's no grip. The whole mountain turns
to slime. No, I'm saying, how did you lose it the day you fell? What caused you to fall? What went different?
Oh, it was raining. So, yeah, I told my guys.
Oh, that was a rainy day.
It's raining. It's dark. I can't see anything. Oh, don't worry. Keep going. I said, wait a minute. I don't think this is really safe. Oh, no, this is not far to go. And boom, my foot on a slippery rock, and that was the end of that.
Okay, it was raining. I was wondering, how did that happen? Okay.
It was
well, I'm so glad you're okay.
Now I know better. I can get some. I'm going to get some better guides and give them more guidance.
I was going to say, I know he got fired.
Okay. I will not go any further. Put up the hammock. I'm going to sleep. See you in the morning.
Right. Okay. All right. Because I wanted to ask you that. I was just in such shock. I'm like, okay, I won't even talk about that. I have to process that when she fell off a mountain. Okay. Well, my other questions are about, first of all, what do you think about single-payer systems versus the one with the health insurance? The way I understood it is that you're cutting out the middleman because health insurers, okay, let me just tell you what I've been told. Health insurers are the middleman because they don't provide care. They just provide really obstacles to care or obstacles to payment or something. And so, obstacles to reimbursement for care or something. So if the government were to subsidize the health care, meaning the government pays providers directly, and then we could make all kinds of stipulations about which providers they pay, I would suggest that they pay it to providers who prove to be effective versus the ones that don't, and that you could lose your subsidy if you're proven not to be effective. Then that way people could choose healthcare providers like you. That's what I was thinking. So what do you think about what do you think about getting rid of the health insurer but not the providers?
Okay, so it helps to understand a system and what's really going on. So this is simply the whole system that you're looking at is designed to transfer money from your pocket to the health insurance company's pocket. So the doctor is the middleman.
Okay.
And so creating a single-payer system would get rid of the true middleman, which is the doctor, and create a transfer of money from you to the insurance company. Then because it's only one payer, it would be a monopoly. You would have no choice. It would be, well, we're almost there. Blue Cross Blue Shield has almost 80% of the market, so, like, relax.
Right.
You got it. You're right there at the single-payer system. We're almost there. So also, when you talk about care, if you're talking about care in terms of the medical industrial complex, what doctors are trained to do in medical school, it kills over 800,000 Americans every year. I don't think the government has any business subsidizing the killing of 800,000 Americans. And those are the Americans who die when it's done right. So I think...
What if we had a choice of what providers we chose?
Doesn't matter.
No?
All the doctor has to do to kill you is follow the standard of care. All he has to do is do what he was taught to do in medical school. And the licensing boards are there to make sure any doctor who does not do what he's taught in medical school loses their license. So I don't have a medical license. I don't want a medical license because, truthfully, right, I'm not going to do what I was trying to do in medical school. So I shouldn't have a medical license. The medical license
certifies what I would need,
what I taught in medical school.
So what you would need is to sever the tie between standard of care and licensing.
That's helpful. That would be a start. Yeah.
Right. So if you did that, then you could have a license, and then we could use government-subsidized payments to go to effective providers like you. And then with that option, the providers who kill people would just fall away. They wouldn't get any money because they can't prove that they effectively cured anything where you could.
Well, no, I don't want to prove anything because then you get into, okay, now I have to open my records to the government and violate your privacy. Now the government can prosecute and persecute you because they have all of your most personal information.
Okay.
So
you have no faith
you
in them.
I
see.
I've been through this. Go check the internet.
I believe
Dr. Daniels persecution or whatever you want to Google. But the government is there to extract money from you, and the insurance companies are helping them. That's basically what's going on. And the health care is not healthy, and nobody cares. So this thing we call health care is designed to kill 800,000 Americans a year. It's not an accident. And so to make that more accessible, government subsidies, is just to create a situation where you get killed more efficiently and the government gets to raise your taxes. Like, how cool is that?
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty cool.
So you don't. So I guess I'm naive in that I believe that although we have a government that's like a corporate state, it doesn't have to be that way. It's supposed to be a government of the people, for the people, by the people. And if we had like maybe a voting revolution, we could achieve that. You are talking about what is. I guess I'm talking about pie in the sky, what I wish, you know?
Right. First of all, they don't count those votes. They don't count those votes. The elections are fixed. This is why it's so important to go to war with countries that don't have a democracy, because then you get to fix the votes, you know, and control who's in power. The other thing is, even when I was 10 years old, they talk about this democracy. I said, democracy? That means rule by the people. I'm a people. No one asked me when they made that law. So I don't know who's in charge, but I'm not. So there is no democracy because no one's asking you what you think before they make a law. You're not in control. You're not running anything. They just use that word to cool you out. But it's okay.
Yeah. Oh, I know we don't have one. I understand we don't have one. And I understand we always support governments that don't have one. And in the name of having one, it's really convoluted. But I understand we don't. That's what I'm saying. The difference is, I guess, you're very realistic about what we actually have. And I'm talking from a standpoint of what we need. That's probably why.
But what you would like to have.
What I'm saying won't work. Right.
Healthcare is designed to kill 800,000 Americans a year. So the question is, should government get involved in making that available to more people? My opinion is no. But that's just my opinion. Other people disagree, and that's okay.
And then that leads into my second question, which is about the legalizing opioids. So in your scenario, you would have no government subsidies because, of course, then you're taking money from the government, which is the people's money, and giving it to the drug dealers, the legal drug dealers. Okay. So if we don't do that, and then if we say that the drug addicts have to pay cash, you know, they just have to pay cash directly, although it's no longer illegal. They can go in somewhere and get it, but they won't have to worry about going to an illegal drug dealer for it because it's legal. Now that it's legal, they would still have to come up with cash, just like when they go to the illegal drug dealers, they pay cash, right? They don't have a card, they have to pay cash. So the difference is that they would now be able to pay legal drug dealers. But my question is, then what? Because the crime comes from the fact that sometimes when their addiction gets to be too great, they commit crimes. So when we have the same amount of crime, because they still don't have the cash, and they're still determined to get the cash. So once again, I was suggesting subsidies where the government did it, but then, you know, like you said, the government is now paying the drug dealers directly. But what about if any subsidies would go for drug treatment? And like I said before, if the treatment is effective, it gets more money. If the treatment is proven not to be effective, it gets no money or less, you know.
Treatment is proven to be not effective, so you can just ice that. But let's
a treatment like you would provide would get government subsidy. A treatment that proves to have a high rate of relapse or whatever, they would get less money or no money.
All right. So let's a couple of things. I work for the patient, so the patient pays me. If the government pays me, I work for the government. I work for you. I become a government agent.
Mm-hmm.
And that's another thing that bothered me about medicine, is I literally had to do what the government. The government wanted me to do what it wanted done, not what the patient wanted done. The other thing is, how do you think these folks became addicts in the first place? 75% became addicts because they had insurance to go to the doctor who got them hooked in the first place, and then they went on to heroin.
Right.
So
I said, if we did your system where there are no subsidies,
but
drugs,
they can't get hooked.
There are only subsidies for treatment.
No, don't subsidize any of it. None of it.
Nothing. Mm-hmm. Not even the treatment. You don't trust them to pay good doctors for treatment like you?
It doesn't matter. You can't be a good doctor in treatment. It's a standard of care. It's a protocol. You have to follow the protocol, and the protocol is not effective.
Oh, they wouldn't let you. They wouldn't let you use your methods for treatment.
No freelance.
That's what you're saying.
Correct.
Okay. Okay.
Okay. All right.
Well,
thank you very much.
Never mind. Never mind.
We're going to go on to our next person. Thanks a lot, Gail. All right, Keturah, how you doing?
Hi. How are you?
A little distortion here. Yeah. How you doing?
I'm well. How are you?
Pretty good. What's up?
I'm 20 years old, and for the past 4 years, I've been dealing with chronic bacterial vaginosis. I've tried going to the doctor, and they give me the antibiotics, and they have a temporary fix, and it comes right back. So I've tried certain kind of probiotics, and it'll work, but it'll come back. And I've tried different home remedies, and it'll work, and it'll come back. So I was just trying to see, is there a permanent cure or solution for it?
It's your diet. You're eating something that's causing the bacterial vaginosis. Also, are you taking a birth control pill?
Well, I was, but I'm not anymore.
When did you stop?
Maybe about 2 months ago.
Okay. So birth control pill causes bacterial vaginosis.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
How long have you been taking the pill?
Well, I was on the shot, but I took the pill for, I've been taking the pill for about 2 months because I just had my daughter. So it's been
What about the shot then? How long have you been taking the shot?
I was taking the shot for probably about 2 years.
But you've had bacterial vaginosis for 4?
Yes, ma'am.
So the first 2 years of bacterial vaginosis, you weren't taking any hormones?
Mm-hmm.
Is that correct?
Yes, ma'am.
All right. So then the first 2 years of bacterial vaginosis were caused by your diet. So you have to examine your diet. That's the problem. And then the birth control pill just compounds it. So if you have a problem like this, it keeps coming back. And it's caused by your diet, so you've got to take a look at your diet. Simplest thing to do is to take a look, download the Candida Cleaner report and follow that diet, one possibility. Or you can do a discovery session, and we could sit down and sort through everything and figure out, where the problem is. Okay. Yeah, so for a discovery session, you would go to vitalitycapsules.com, and you can either get your free report on Candida, or you could click on a HAPA report and then go to the next screen, which gives you the discovery session option. All right, well, I got 3 minutes left. Let's see what we got going on here. So Tina has pain in her right shoulder, radiating down her arm, and bursitis in that shoulder, and diagnosed with fibromyalgia and other arthritis, in other words, all over the body. Can't move the arm without severe pain. I'm 76 years old. My name is... Okay. All right. So the question here is, what's your priority? Is it the shoulder pain, or is it the fibromyalgia all over your body? We're going to guess it's the shoulder pain. The problem, though, is you've got to get rid of the fibromyalgia first. The easiest way is, change your diet and have more bowel movements and use water and drink more water. And then fibromyalgia will be less, and then you can attack or approach the pain in your right shoulder by just applying, I would apply actually castor oil because it's a little more gentle and not as harsh as turpentine, and that'll still give you pain relief. So I apply the castor oil to your right shoulder and arm area, and increase your bowel movements. That's the simplest way to do that. Okay. Jesus Christ. Oh, my God. I have a friend who's suffering from scleroderma. He's on oxygen and on a lung transplant list. Is scleroderma another name for syphilis? Can he reverse his condition at this point? I don't know. definitely this prayer session would be in order to sort this one out. There's things he could do. I think what needs to be understood is what are his options, number one. Number two, what's he capable of doing? And number three, does he want to do it? So that would be the thing to do. Dr. Daniels, any kind of nuts you recommend to eat? I love peanuts, but I know it's coated with GMOs. Whether nuts can be eaten daily, like having it for a snack. I would go and see if the peanuts are organic. We get organic peanuts down here in Panama, and those peanuts actually, my daughter, who's allergic to peanuts, was able to eat them without a reaction. So the chemicals in your food are a big deal. Dr. Daniels, what are good sources of omega-3 besides fish oil? You can take flaxseed, a quarter cup, soak it in one cup of water overnight, stir it, drink it, and there's your flaxseeds. And there's your omega-3. That's my favorite. Does neuropathy and multiple sclerosis come from the medication or the disease? Both. Can someone improve taking medications and eating all organic, or do they need to ditch the meds? You need to ditch the meds. The meds cause mental senility, like Alzheimer's. So the only thing worse than MS is being demented. Turpentine kill off the good bacteria? No, it does not. Necessary to take probiotics? No, it is not. All right, we got the... where is the chat room? It's over here somewhere. All right. I'm the fur cream I love, and she was the ship I arrived in. Doctor, yes, why is 100% pure oregano premium essential oil therapeutic grade so powerful? It's pretty caustic. Is it like turpentine? No. If not, what's the difference? The oregano oil is extremely harsh. The turpentine is much more gentle. Also, turpentine gets the bacteria or the bad guys, the parasites, to literally get up and leave. I am not an oregano oil fan. Okay, Mayday, emergency eject. All right, let's see. Okay, so Dr. Daniels, how long should a person follow the Candida and turpentine diet? It depends. Some people need to follow it for a long time. Some people can just take one dose of turpentine and done. So you have to play it by ear. Do you need to slowly add foods back? You don't need to, but yes, you may want to add foods back slowly. If you do it abruptly, you could have a flare. All right, we are done. As always, think happens, and we'll see you next week.
Just standing there, and I thought I was only dreaming, yeah. I kissed you then, and then once again.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds, up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield Tactical Bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.